Boom, boom, boom. Yo, 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 what's up, party people? How y'all doing? How are y'all doing? It's good. It's good. It's good. You know, I'm late. You know what's funny? When I try and do this podcast and I actually try and schedule a time, like I'll be on at 8. I'll be on at 8:30, 7:30, whatever. I'm always late. I swear to you, I can never be on time for these things. I probably should just never do it because it just never works out the way you want something to work out. It just is what it is. But I'm here. It's another Wednesday. It's Beyond the Chair podcast time. I'm back, and we're going to talk a lot of good stuff today. You read the topic, how to maximize your barber career. I'm gonna tell you guys some things in this video on how you can maximize your barber career to actually come out of the other side with a little bit of dignity, because a lot of people don't. A lot of people get frustrated in this career and then they quit. I thought I had a bug on my arm. Been battling these mosquitoes lately, man. Like, these mosquitoes been in the house. Freaking my legs are itching. And you see a bug or something, you get all paranoid, you go to your friend's house, you see the roach on the wall, and the next thing you just start itching out of nowhere. Like, just your paranoia starts to kick in. Like, that's how I've been lately. So shout out to everyone that's in the building. JB Some Waves, Emil the Barbers, that was popping. Hey, this is popping. But I want you guys to retire with some dignity. Have a plan. So we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff in the podcast. Now, this may or may not be the 100th episode of the Beyond the Chair podcast. I'm not quite sure. Don't quote me on that. Okay, please don't quote me on that. This may or may not be the 100th episode. This may be episode 99. And, you know, people are like, oh, man, like, do this lead. I'm a type of person that works off a feel. If it feels right, I'll do it. I was thinking about having to call in where people can call in and do this. Maybe I won't do it for the 100th episode. You know, maybe I'll do it for 105. Maybe I'll just do it randomly. Right. But I don't know. I honestly don't know what I'm going to do for the 100th episode. If this is the 100th episode, obviously I'm not doing a damn thing, but I don't know. If next week is the 100th episode, and I'll find out once I upload this onto the podcasting platforms, and, you know, we're going to find out. Jason's in the building. Voorhees. But let's talk about how to maximize your barber career. Let's get right into it, because I'm going to answer some questions later. And, of course, if you guys got questions, drop them in the comments. You know how that goes. But let's talk about barbering. So here's one mistake that a lot of people, and this applies to life, not just barbering, but life. A lot of people make the mistake of going into a situation without a game plan. They just go into a situation aimlessly, and they're just having fun. They're just happy to be there. They're just riding the wave of life. Now, riding the wave of life can be good and bad. It can be good if you already have a good foundation. You have good systems in place. You have a strategy for building whatever you're trying to do. But if you don't have anything, you don't have a plan for retirement. You're not saving. You're not investing. You don't have a plan on where you're seeing yourself 10 years from now. You don't see yourself how you're going to be living in retirement. This is the type of life you don't want to live. Now, if someone's just going through life, but they have a lot of things on automation, like some people have their investments on automation. And if you're that type of person where it's hard for you to invest, like physically, like, oh, I got to physically take the money out. Then I got to go transfer it over here. Then I got to actually make a decision with it. You can automate that process of investing. So let's not get into that right now. But have a plan when you go into your barber career. And this applies for anything. Have a plan before you actually go in. So what do I mean by have a plan? Know what type of career that you want out of barbering or any career. Because a lot of people get, they're mistaken when they think barbering is just cutting hair behind the chair. That is the furthest from the truth. There's so many different ways you can make money in the beauty and hair industry. I'll just name a few. Obviously, barbering, cutting hair. The second, you could be an owner of a shop, whether you choose to actively work in the business or you don't want to work in the business. That choice is up to you. You can become an educator, whether you own a school and maybe you teach there part-time, or you just own a school and you have your staff. You can be a teacher where you work at a school and you don't physically have to cut hair and trade your time for money as far as cutting hair for the exchange. Damn, I swear, man, these bugs got me paranoid. I swear, it's like I just saw the roach on the wall. Now I'm just itching. Man, ooh, I got to get that out of my mind. See, this is all like mind control. This is like psychology. My psyche is messed up because I saw a few bugs. Now it feels like I'm itching. It's like I'm paranoid for no reason. Because I know there's no damn bugs up here. All right, so so you could work at a school as being an instructor. You can be a platform artist where you work for a company, they pay you, you travel, blah, blah, blah. You can do stuff like this. You know, you can be a celebrity barber. You could work, whether you do house calls only or whether you work on set, you work for movies, TV shows, video shoots, things like this. This is another way that you can make money through barber. And let's be honest, you don't need a barber license to do this, guys. Hint, hint. You don't need a barber license to work on the movie set, a TV set, a video shoot, to do house calls. You don't need a barber license to do this. All you need is skill, a little bit of networking, promoting, advertising, all this stuff. That's all you need. Okay. Now, once you have that figured out, now you can figure out what type of career that you want to have beyond that, because that's just the base, right? So one, we know that we want to become a barber. Okay, great. Duh. Now you figured out what you want to do. Let's say you want to, we'll just do real basic, because I'm going to be pretty sure most of the people that listen to this are just regular barbers that work within a barbershop. So I'm not going to give you the example of a celebrity barber, someone who works on set or anything like that. But some people may have ambitions or aspirations to do that, which is great. And trust me, guys, it's highly possible. Let me just give you one piece of advice. If you're trying to become a celebrity barber, work on movie sets and shoots and blah, blah, blah. Don't be the person that wants to be a celebrity barber or work on sets, blah, 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 et cetera. And you live in Wyoming. You live in North Dakota, okay? Like, don't try and do this stuff when you live in Arkansas, okay? You live in Kentucky. Come on now. You got to move to a highly populated area, preferably a bigger city, a well-known city, you know, New York, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, somewhere like Dallas, Houston, anywhere in LA, a lot of different cities in California, you know, Chicago, like cities like this. Don't be in the rural area trying to be a celebrity barber. It's going to be really hard, okay? Now, once we figured out we want to work in a barbershop, now you need to figure out the type of barbershop that you want to work in. But before we even talk about it, let me rewind. Barber college, because let me talk about this real quick. A lot of people, oh my goodness, a lot of people get very confused about barber college. Like, oh, should I choose this school or oh, this or that? And blah, blah. I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all need to man the hell up. Pick a school and go. Okay, a lot of people get into this thing where they're like, oh, this school, that school. At the end of the day, once you finish barber college and you go out into the workforce, no one's really, I'm just going to be honest with you, no one really cares which barber college you went to. There might be a small percentage of people, but by and large, no one really cares which barber college you go to. Just because you went to this barber college doesn't mean that you're going to make more money going into somewhere else. And that's real, okay? Like, you could have paid $2,000 for barber college. Hey, are your skills good to go? Okay, then, you know, you can make this amount of money or whatever. Whatever the deal is, or whatever the structure is. And don't forget to smash the like button if you're in the building. And don't forget to subscribe and share the content. And for all the people that's listening on the podcasting platforms, don't forget to share with any other barbers that you know might find this info helpful. So let's continue on. So once you get through the whole barber college thing, because like I said, we manning the hell up, okay? I'm not going to play this game with you like, oh, look for this in this barber's college, or oh, look for this, blah, blah. No, man the hell up, okay? You're there on the mission. You're a man or woman, okay? You're a man or woman on a mission, and you're trying to get through barber college just to attain your license. That's all you're trying to do. You're just trying to attain your license. Of course, over that time, you're going to develop some skill, and I'm going to be honest, guys, it's all on you. Don't be that person that's, oh, the school didn't teach me anything. Oh, the instructors suck, and therefore my career is going to be shitty, or I didn't learn anything because of this. At the end of the day, it is on you. It's your responsibility. You can acquire skills outside of the barber college, okay? You can cut hair outside of barber college. Now, some people can do this, most can, but there are some that can't, okay? my advice, make it happen. Okay. Now, the people that say, oh, these instructors are no good, blah, blah, blah. Most of the time in most schools, the students teach themselves. You know, you guys are bouncing ideas off of each other, and the students are basically teaching each other, okay? We graduated barber college. Now we need to find a barbershop to work in. Now this is, it's, okay, let me explain. This is important, but it also cannot be important in certain circumstances, okay? Allow me to explain. So what the hell is this? All right, there we go. So you want to pick the right shop for you. Now, what I said about barber college, about like, oh, who gives a damn, just go to school, get your license. Yes, it's true. But when you go to the barber shop, you want to pick the right barber shop. Okay, now figuring out what is the right barber shop for you, this can be tricky. Okay, because you need to figure out, does it fit your vibe? Right? Like, do you think you would mesh well with the guys? Now, I recommend that you guys just go there, initially tell them that blah, 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 be a customer. Okay. Be a customer and see how things operate. If you like the way things operate, you know, you can kind of get a feel for how things work, their systems, how all the barbers mesh together. And see if you really like it from there. Then you can make a more informed decision on if you think this is a place you could actually work at. Okay. Here's another thing you need to realize to maximize your career as a barber. Figure out how much money you're going to charge coming out of barber college. Because a lot of people don't know this when they come out of, they're like, oh, I don't know. You know, they just kind of go in somewhere and they just kind of fall in line. This is the type of barber career that I don't want you guys to have, okay? I do not want you guys having this type of barber career where you're just falling in line, you're just kind of going where the wind blows. Have a roadmap for your career. Before you even go to barber college, have exit strategy already when you go into this career. Because a lot of people, they get into this career of barbering and then they get frustrated and they quit. Or they get locked in and they can't do it. They don't have any other skills in life. It's cut hair, and then they're forced to cut hair until the day they die, or until they get just old and brittle and weathered, you know, dusty. But you don't want this to be you, okay? So if you go in and you're like, okay, I'm going to dedicate 10 years of my life to barbering, then I'm going to find an exit strategy. Or you might say, I'm going to dedicate 5 to 10 years to the barbershop, then I'm going to transition to school, cater, whatever, right? You can have this plan, but this is, like I said earlier, the most important part is like having a plan. Have a plan for your career. Okay, now, of course, I know plans can change throughout life and throughout anything. Plans can change throughout your life. I get it. You know, like I had the idea of opening a barbershop before. This was one of my ideas. I was like, man, I want to have the craziest barbershop like ever. Like the world's biggest barbershop, it's going to be crazy. Like, and what I mean by crazy is, I mean literally crazy. It's going to be like, you walk in, you're like, what the hell is this? This is the craziest barbershop I've ever been to. Yeah. But that idea has left my mind because recently I've been thinking more about retirement. Of course, I've been talking about this stuff a lot. If you guys have been watching my latest videos and things like this, but the idea for me to open my own barbershop, I don't even have that idea anymore, guys. That idea is gone, long gone. Like, I don't see myself opening a school for sure. That was never something that I saw myself doing, and something that I didn't want to do, open a school. But open a barbershop, I was like, okay, this is right up my alley. It's pretty easy. You know, I've owned a business, ran a business. I was like, seems pretty easy. But this idea, because I have a plan. I planned on retiring in 8 to 10 years. Soon as I hit $1 million, I'm retiring and I'm transitioning onto the next phase of my life. Oh, you know what's funny? Let me backtrack. Okay, now I'm gonna backtrack probably like a month. Okay, I remember someone was asking me the question about maybe more than a month ago. If I wasn't a barber now, what would I have been doing? And I told them, I can't even remember what my answer was to them. I'm going to be honest. I can't even remember my answer, but I know my answer was wrong. And shout out to my wife because she actually corrected me on this. And I do remember now what I was actually planning on doing once if I wasn't going to be a barber. Now, I was actually planning on getting into real estate before I even thought about barbering. I was like, okay, I'm going to get my real estate license, sell some houses, you know, get my broker's license and start doing, you know, stuff like this. And it just totally escaped my mind when the person asked me this. I was like, yeah, that's right. I was going to go into real estate. And I was actually waiting for the class to start because they only did the class every so often. So I was just basically waiting for the next class date to start. But then like, barbering just fell into my lap. So answers real estate. Now, let's talk back about my retirement. So I plan on retiring in 8 to 10 years. And in 8 to 10 years, I am going to get into real estate, okay? I'm not going to be a real estate agent or anything like that. No, I don't have time for that, okay? I'm actually going to be an investor, okay? But here's one thing I recommend that a lot of people do. And this is actually one thing I've heard this one guy does. I can't remember who the guy is, and I can't even remember where I saw it. But I was like, wow, that's pretty ingenious. And it kind of reminds me of myself. This guy, I think he's in his late 40s or 50s. I can't really remember, but he looked like an older gentleman. And he said what he does in his life, he doesn't believe in having a career for like a long-term career. You know, some people work a job for 20, 30 years, things like this. They'll retire from something. He subscribes to the hustler notion where every 5 years he's changing his career. And I was like, that's pretty interesting. I was like, you know, different perspective on, and a way to look at it. I was like, wow, that's actually pretty dope because what that does is it allows you to, one, acquire multiple skills throughout your life because, as they say, you know, skill, and the more you know, the more you won't go broke. You know, if you have a lot of different skills throughout your life, a lot of different skill sets, you'll be able to get a job somewhere. Like, you know how these people, they complain like, oh, I can't get a job, man. Like, they ain't hiring. Because most people don't have skills. Most people don't have something that an employer would want or a corporation would want or a job would want. If you just have basic monkey skills, like you're going to get paid monkey wages. Like anyone can do this. You can teach someone how to do this in a day or they can figure it out on their own. And then, you know, you just put the systems in place and hold them accountable. You know, it's just crazy, you know. So have skills. Skills pay the bill. So this guy, he was saying how every 5 years he would change up his career. He would look for industries that were peaking. So like, let's say tech is in. So he would acquire some skills in tech and go work in tech for about 5 years, maybe 7 years. And then once that's over, he would go to another skill, right? So let me think. Maybe he worked, let's say he worked construction for 5 years. Maybe he worked construction for 1 year, got his feet wet, blah, 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 you know, attained a lot of skills. Then he got his general contractor license. Then he worked that for like 5 years. Let's say he did that. Then he pivoted to tech. Then he pivots to something that like real estate investing or something like this. This guy, he was basically just changing his careers every 5 to 7 years. And it kind of, like I say, it kind of reminds me of myself because I did the taxi thing, the taxi business for 5 years. I was working in transportation for about 5 years. Now I'm in barbering and I have a clear exit strategy for barbering to move on to my next venture, which is real estate. And before that, like I was in the military for 8 years. And then after I got out of the military, I just kind of worked odds and ends jobs, but I was doing the professional fighting thing for a while. So when I heard this guy talk, it made me think. I was like, wow, that kind of sounds like me when I really think about like all the stuff that I've done throughout my life. it kind of reminded me of myself. But this is one thing I want you guys to think about, just to maximize your career. Now, if you want to cut hair to your 60, 70, 80, if you're lucky enough to live that long, by all means, do it. And here's one thing that is going to be great for you to maximize your barbering career. Do things on your terms as much as you can. Now, there's some times where you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to just, you know, kind of go with the flow. But you do not want this to be the bulk of your career, just going with the flow. You know, if the wind blows this way, your ass is following right behind. Do things on your terms. When you have, jeez, man, these bugs must have got my legs. When you do things on your terms, And when you have options, there's no better thing in life than options. Like, imagine, okay, imagine this. You broke, you only got a dollar, but you're like, man, I want to go eat at some fast food joint. You don't have many options when you only got a damn dollar in your pocket. You might be able to hit up McDonald's for the dollar menu. You might go hit Taco Bell, like something, you know, maybe go to a little something, get a little 2-for-1 thing in the freezer or something. You don't have a lot of options when you got $1 in your pocket. Your options open up if you had $10 in your pocket, because pretty much just about every fast food joint, you could buy something off the menu. Pretty much every fast food joint, most of the point. I don't eat a lot of fast food, so I might be off a little bit. But most fast food joints, you can get something. Your options open up at that point, okay? So having options in life is great. Just like if you want to buy a car, your budget's $20,000, and you're like, man, I want to get a brand new car. I don't want a used car. I want a brand new car, but I only have $20,000. Your options are going to be limited, okay? You're not going to get a nice car. You're not going to. You might get a car that doesn't have power windows. You might have to crank them, you know? They do still sell some cars like that, you know, if you guys didn't know that. You can get one of them cars for under 20 grand. It's not going to be what you think you might want to get, but if you had $50,000, $70,000 to spend on a brand new car, your options open up. So having options is great. And the same thing with your barbecue. You want to have options. You want to on your own terms, okay? When you're just like doing stuff, it really takes the fun. And this is the one thing I'm trying to tell you through all of this stuff is you want to have fun with the career and have so frustrating. You want to get some enjoyment out of this career. You don't want this to turn into a nightmare, because you ever hear people say, oh, turn your passion or turn your hobby into a career or turn your passion into profit. I'm sure you guys have probably heard terms like this. Where these things turn nightmare is where the fun gets taken out of it, and then it feels like a job, and then you no longer hate your hobby or your passion. You have a hate for it. You're just like, every time you think about it, you have this like disdain towards it. You don't want this to happen. Live on your terms. Have options, okay? This is why when I moved here and I said to myself, my plan is to get my barber license, get my cosmetology license, then get my instructor license. I didn't get my cosmetology license because I was just like, I don't really need it. I was like, for what I see for my career, I won't need this. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to go in the future, okay? And also went to go get my license for the barber instructor program, which is actually kind of funny. I never even took the test. And my man Jason, in the comments, he told me recently that they're getting rid of the license and the schooling next year. So I'm just like, wow, okay. I'm actually grateful that I did not have to go waste my money and time to get this, to go test for these licenses. So it's actually kind of funny how that worked out. But what did all of that stuff afford me? What did all those different scenarios afford me? Options, guys. So let's say worst comes to worst. Like I'm the worst men's hair cutter. I'm the worst at doing comb overs. I'm the worst at doing a mid ball fade, a drop fade, a tape. I'm the worst possible, and no one wants me. I can go do women's hair. That's if, you know, like I said, I didn't go there. But I also have the knowledge to work at a school. I can do this. So that allows me to have options, guys. This is what acquiring skills, being open-minded, will allow you to do, okay? If you're just going to sit back, be in your own box, you don't want to take any advice from anyone, you don't want to go out and learn something new, pick up a new skill, your options are going to be limited. Like, I have plenty of skills. Like, let's say I want to get out of barbering. I do have skills to work in other industries, but do I? No. You know, and I hate to go back to what I just said. You know why that is? Because I have options. I have the option to do this versus that. If push came to shove, you guys see what I'm saying? Options, living life on your terms. Now, this goes beyond barbering. This goes when you're talking about finances or working a plan towards retirement. You want to live life on your terms. A lot of people, this is why I've been telling people about retirement. Plan out your retirement now. Plan out how long you think it was going to take you to retire from where you are now. Figure out how much money you're going to need in retirement right now. Figure out the type of lifestyle that you want to live in retirement. These are big things to know. And I've been telling people to do this. I don't know if a lot of people have or have not. I just don't know because I haven't followed up with any of you. If you have, you know, drop it in the comments. I want to know. I mean, I really want to know. And when I ask people this, it's funny. I ask people, like, do you know when you're going to retire? A lot of people, they'll laugh like, oh, like, what are you talking about? Retire, you know, but I'm like, OK, that's a serious question. You know, let's just be honest. Most people don't work their job, the same job, until the day they die. Most people don't. OK, guys, there are very few people that can work the job that they're doing now to the very day that they die. Most people do not enjoy their jobs that much to work it until the day they die. Okay. Like, I love barbering, but do I see myself, let's say at 60, 70 years old, cutting hair in a barbershop in the environment where I'm relying on clientele, I'm relying on being booked to pay my bills and blah, blah, blah. Hell to the no. Okay. Now, do I see myself cutting hair at 60? If I'm, you know, fortunate enough to live that long, possibly, like, but it's going to be in a different setting. It's not going to be in a barber shop. It's going to be in a very private setting. Maybe I cut like a close friend's hair or a family member's hair, something like this. It's not going to be one of those things where I'm cutting customers. Like, hell to the no. Okay. Totally different scenario. Hell to the no. Okay. So plan out what you want out of your career. This is going to give you options. When you plan out your retirement, I know, man, Jason, I'm telling you, there's no bugs. I'm just paranoid. I really just need to focus in. Okay, this is what I'm trying to. But the thing is, like, my legs are itching. And it may have been when I went to my mom's house last night. We were out in their patio, and there were a bunch of bugs. Like, I was getting bit. So it may be stuff from there. I don't know. But plan out your retirement, guys. Please listen to me when I tell you this. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when you plan out your retirement, you're going to get pissed. There's a few things that are going to happen. You're going to get pissed because you're like, damn it, I'm nowhere near where I need to be to get where I actually want to be in retirement. Or you're going to get motivated because you're going to be like, okay, I'm on track. Or I'm glad I actually did this early, and I'm still pretty young, which I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be real with you guys. Even if you're 50, 40, 30, 20, like, you can plan for retirement at any of those ages. Okay, guys. So don't think it's never too late. Okay. But you're going to get motivated more than likely and start putting plans together, remain disciplined along the way to actually hit those goals of retirement. Or you're going to be sad. You're going to be like, oh shit, I've ruined my life, which I'm going to be honest. If you guys are young listening to this podcast, please listen to me now. I'm the OG giving it to you raw. Don't fuck around. Be serious about your life. Plan for the future. Stop playing around when you're young. Don't just go around aimlessly dating women, doing silly stuff. Get focused. If you can lock down for 4 to 5 years, guys, if you can lock down 4 to 5 years, it's no different than you going to college, right? When you go to college, you gotta go to classes, you gotta take tests. Of course, you know, you're gonna have fun, a little party here, blah, 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 blah. But if you can do the same as if you were going to college with your career, lock down for 4 to 5 years. I said this in another video where if you just do this and you have a decent wage, let's say you make 40. We'll just say $40,000 plus. I'm not going to give you caps, but $40,000 plus, I guarantee you, if you play these cards right, you focus in for 4 to 5 years, you could easily have $100,000 of net worth, at least. And then once that happens, it's a wrap. Now it's time for you to start really building. It's time for you to start managing your money. It's time for you to start investing. And then you could easily become rich after that, easily. So I tell people this, like, just get focused, especially the young people. Now, I kind of, you know what? I'm gonna go into the question because that part actually kind of segues me into the question of the podcast. Now, I answered this question last week, and I went back and listened to it, and I was just saying to myself, I didn't go in as much as I should have. I didn't give him as good of advice as I should have. Now, let me recap the question for those of you that weren't here last week and didn't listen. And I hope he's listening. Kev, I hope you're listening. So Kev's question was this. And I don't have his question in front of me, so I'm just going to paraphrase everything that he wrote for me from what I recollect, okay? He has wanted to be a barber since he was 14 years old. I think currently he's 23. He currently works at Home Depot. I think he said he gets paid $900 every 2 weeks, if I can remember that correctly. I think he said he has a 401k. They offer him a stock purchase, which is like a 15% discount. But he's always wanted to become a barber, but he's never taken the step to do it. He's been worried because he's worked the retail lifestyle for so long. He's afraid that maybe he won't be a successful barber because currently he takes forever to cut hair. For all of us, okay, that's normal. We in the beginning, you're gonna take a little bit longer. You know, when you get more skill and you get more hours under your belt, you're gonna get quicker. Okay, so let's just ignore that. Ah, okay, it's still on the table, Jason. Okay, Jason lying to me over here. But back to the question. Me like, oh, like, what's my advice? Now, I'm gonna say this, man, because, of course, this is your big brother, okay? This is your big brother talking to you, okay? I got to keep it real. We're not sugarcoating. We want you to succeed, okay? Now, here's the first mistake, okay, that you're making. You're asking me this question. That's your first mistake. Because if you have to ask me that question, I could already tell you have doubts. I can already tell you're scared if you're asking me this question. Now, you might be saying, like, what? What do you mean? Like, that's a legitimate question. No, stop. Real people that want things that they want in life that are willing to bet on themselves in life, they just go out and do it. They don't have to ask permission for someone else. They don't need to get someone else's advice. Now, advice is good, okay? So let me not shit on giving advice. Advice is great. But when you're that age, he's 23 or 24, when you're that age, you need to be taking the most risk that you possibly can. You have the greatest opportunity when you're younger to take all of the risk that you can because it's so easy to recover. Now, the problem with a lot of young people is they feel that time, they don't have enough time. Little do they realize, young people, they have all the time in the world. They have all the time to make all the mistakes that they possibly can in life because they're young. They value money so much that they forget about time. This is the problem where you see older people, they get into a situation where they look up, they can't retire, or they don't have the means to retire. They don't have a career. They don't have skills. And they don't have money, right? So one, they're older, which means they don't have much time. And two, they don't have money. So they're in double trouble. But you, on the other hand, you're in your early 20s. You have every opportunity in the world to make mistakes. You have 7 years before you hit 30 years old. That's 7 years of learning. There's a lot of lessons that can be learned in this next 7 years. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. He says he makes about $900 every 2 weeks. Now, what I need you to do next time you get paid. Now, I don't know if you get paper checks or you get direct deposit. I'm going to assume you get direct deposit, okay? I'm just going to assume you get direct deposit. I want you to do this. Next time you get your paycheck, whether it's, you know, electronic or whatever, I want you to do this. This is your paycheck. Okay? Like, this is your brain on drugs. This is your paycheck, okay? I want you to look at it and say to yourself, is this all I'm worth? $900 every 2 weeks? Is this all I'm worth? And honestly answer that question to yourself. Answer this question and say, yes, I'm worth $900 every 2 weeks. Or no, hell no. I'm not worth $900 a week. What the hell am I doing wasting my time here? I'm 23 years old. I have a whole life in front of me. I have a whole lot of lessons I can learn, a whole lot of skills that I can attain and acquire. $900 every 2 weeks. Now, I can guarantee you this. You can go get your barber license, hop right out of barber college, and work somewhere where you can make way more than $900 every 2 weeks. You can go to a commission shop, a well-known commission shop that charges more, have a good clientele base, people that have a little bit more money, and you can make way more than $900 every 2 weeks. I can guarantee you this. Now, I'm not sure where you live, okay? But this is the thing. You cannot be scared. You have to be willing to bet on yourself. And this is why I said earlier where you're already failing because you're asking me this question. The real question should be, hey, what's a good barber college? Or like things about the career itself, not whether, oh, should I do this? Yes or no, I'm on the fence, or if I should do it. What's your plan? Well, man, Kev, what's your plan with Home Depot? Are you trying to work your way up into executive status? I mean, I don't know. How long is that going to take you? What's the trajectory on that? Are you putting yourself in a position to do that? Now, I want to explain something to you guys. Now, you see the position I'm in now, I can't really break it down for you guys because, of course, there are other things that I probably couldn't tell you right now, but I'm telling you, like, there's things in my life right now that are happening that I'm just like, wow, things are really happening for me right now where I'm just like, wow, things are really opening up. And you want to know why that's possible? It's possible because I put myself in position to win. If I didn't do that, if I didn't put myself in that position, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to be, because I'm going to be honest with you guys. The price of barber college is very expensive. I wasn't going to pay $17,500 out of my pocket to go to barber college. I kid you not, I was not going to do it. If that was my option, if my option was real estate or pay $17,500 to go to barber college, I was going to real estate. I was already wanting to go to real estate anyway. I would have definitely just went to real estate because taking the real estate thing was I can't even remember. It's like really, it's like dirt cheap. It's like pennies compared to barber college. Another thing that put me in a position to win, being in the military, getting honorably discharged, that allowed me to be able to use a VA loan, which I used a VA loan to purchase this house. I didn't have to put any money down. I don't have any PMI. And I was able to get into this house. Very easy, right? I had the taxi business when I was in Florida. I saved up money, blah, blah, blah. So I had money to move in and do all the other stuff. I put myself in a position to win. Do you guys see what I'm saying? Like, I put myself in a position to win. I got my credit in order, which, you know what's funny? I should give a shout out to myself right now. Where's my phone? I looked at this, maybe a little over a week ago. I just found out my credit score is over 800. I was like, would you believe that? I was like, would you believe that? My credit score is over 800. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I honestly don't give a damn about my credit score. I'm just going to be real with y'all. I really don't give a damn about my credit score, okay? Because honestly, I don't have a use for credit, right? I already have a mortgage on this house. You know, of course, like let's say I go out and take on another mortgage, like maybe I get an investment property. Of course, credit might, you know, I'm going to need credit then. I already have a car loan, which we're about to pay that. So I'm definitely not financing a car anytime soon. So won't really need credit for that. I have credit cards. It is what it is. I don't have a need for any other credit card. So that's what I say. Like, I really don't care about my credit. Although a lot of people might look at them like, ooh, you got an 800 credit score. Now check this out. Now, who knows? Because the thing fluctuates. So let me, it might have dropped below, but here, I'm gonna see if I can show this to you guys. Okay, so you see that? What is that saying? that's just hilarious. Okay, so you see, this is my credit score now. So I guess it still stayed the same, but that is hilarious. My credit score hit over 800. That is hilarious. Hilarious. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't have any intention on buying anything on credit. I mean, I have my credit card. I use it. Lately, I haven't been using it a lot, but I don't have any uses for my credit. But you know what I'm going to go back to? I am in a position, you see, look, I am in a position to do stuff, right? I have the opportunity to do stuff because my credit is good. And I actually have cash, you know, in other things, you know. So I always tell people, like, hey, what's your net worth? I always ask people this, but no one really responds when I ask that question. Like, hey, what's your net worth? I mean, like, if you guys want to get real, drop it in the comments. Like, what is your net worth? We talked about this a few podcasts ago. You know, this is kind of funny. So to my man, Kev, go out, do it. Do not waste any more time. Okay. Really do whatever the hell you want. Do I use Credit Karma? No, I don't. And you want to know why? Cause I don't care. Like, I really don't care about my credit. You know, it's kind of funny. Like I say, I mean, like, my credit score is up there, but, like, I really just don't care, you know, I just don't care, you know, but I know a lot of people, they strive to try and get a 750 credit score, or they strive to try and get an 800 plus credit score. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not try to get an 800 credit score. It just happened. Do you see how that works, guys? Like, in my life, I've learned that patience is the key to a lot of things for my success. And this is just me, okay? It may not apply to you guys, but it applies for me. Patience is a virtue. It's so true. You know, I've learned that I make a lot of my mistakes when I rush things, when I'm in a hurry. A lot of my best ideas just come when I'm patient and just let things come to me. You know, and here's the thing. The reason I'm so patient is because I'm putting myself in a position to be patient. Like, this is what I really want you guys to understand. When you put yourselves in a good position, you have options. It goes back. It's like a big circle of, you know, like putting yourself in a position, having options, patience. Like, this stuff, it will start opening up other doors for you. I put myself in a position. I have options. So I can exercise a little bit of patience. Imagine if you got fired from your job today. You have no emergency fund. You don't have any fuck you money. I always tell you guys about that. Get some fuck you money, okay? You don't have any fuck you money. So now you're on the ropes. You're like, oh, man, I'm going to get evicted, or I'm going to get foreclosed on. Like, man, what am I going to do? First person that offers you a job, you're taking it, right? Because you don't have options. You don't have the patience. Rent's due next week. You have no patience. Okay. Do you see what I'm saying? So, what's up? What's up? Shout out to everyone. My man Jay Beast, bro S Dan. That's a lot of J's up in here. Damn. You got Jason, Jay Beats and Waves, Joe Blow. What's up with all the J's up in here? But this is what I'm just trying to tell you guys. Like, when you have a little bit of patience, you have a bunch of options, things are going to open up for you, because you're going to be able to really make very good calculated decisions. When you don't have patience and you just got to do something quick, you're in a hurry, you're not making the most calculated decisions. You're going to be out here. You're going to be like, oh, man, let me do this. Boom. Then you're going to be like, damn, I regretted it because I didn't really research it that well. I didn't give enough time to see how this really worked. Yeah, because you didn't have patience. You didn't have options. This is why I want you guys to understand, like, have a little bit of patience. Just, you know, don't, like, a lot of things, like, the younger people, they think everything that should be in a rush, because they're like, oh, they feel like life's going to pass them by. Guys, trust me from this. And I swear to you, you probably listen to someone else mention something similar to this. It's not as bad as you think it is. It's not as much of a rush as you think it is. A lot of young people, they love to think that, oh, I need to rush now. Like, oh, blah, blah, blah. No. No, you have time, okay? Especially if you're 20, you're 18, 16, dude, you guys have so much time. So much time. But just know this. The decisions you make now have a direct correlation and impact on the on your life 10 years from now, the older you get. So let's say you're 9 years old. The decisions you make when you're 9 years old don't really have a direct impact on your life when you're 19 years old. There might be some subtle nuance there, but I'm talking about big mistakes. Now, when you're 25 years old, the decisions you make at 25 years old has a adverse effect on your life when you're 35 years old. Let's say you just go out, you get a girl pregnant, you don't marry her, and now you just have a kid with a girl that you're not married to. And let's say you got another girl pregnant, so you have two kids by two different women, you're 25. Now, that's going to play on the psyche of a lot of people because they're going to feel like, oh man, my life's over. Oh, I've got to work just for these kids. Oh, I can't make a lot of money. I just need to work this job because it's going to pay me right now. It's going to take care of the now. Unfortunately, their psyche is going, they're not thinking like, okay, let me strategize for this so I can make a good long-term play. And these mistakes are going to have a big effect on your life when you're 35. Because when you're 35, you're going to probably still be working for the same company or within that same industry. You have not progressed that much. Your income has not increased that much. But of course, your lifestyle has. And let's hope you have not had any other kids. Let's hope you weren't aimlessly dating in those next 10 years. Your life is not going to be good. So the older you get, the bigger the impact the decisions you make will have on your life 10 years from now. So right now, as I told you guys earlier, I plan on retiring completely in 8 to 10 years. So the decisions that I'm making now is going to have a direct impact on my life 8 to 10 years from now, and a direct impact on if I will be able to retire like I plan on in 8 to 10 years. Do you see what I'm talking about with this, guys? I want you guys to truly understand this and truly see how important this is, because if you don't, you're going to make the same mistake most people don't, and most people don't wake up until their 50s, 60s, late 40s, 40, whatever, and realize, oh man, I screw my life up. Oh man, I had so much fun doing this, but what do I have to show for it? Oh, I don't have a skill. Oh, this industry that I'm in, it's falling apart. I have no other skills anywhere else. Like, what am I going to do? This dude, okay. So he's about, Joe Blow's about to get blocked up. We're about to have a throw a block party for Joe real quick. Yeah, we're going to have a block party for Joe. Joe about to get blocked like Shaquille. I'm about to hit him with the Mutombo finger. What's up, Les? So just remember that. The decisions that you make now will have an effect on your life 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and especially the older you get in life. Like once you're an adult, 18, right? And let's say your parents kick you out of the house. You got to start making decisions. Whether you go to college or you pick up a trade and acquire a skill and then, you know, go into the workforce. These little decisions are going to pay a big part in your life when you turn 30. Because let's just say your parents kicked you out of the house when you're 18. You just went to have some fun because, hey, this is what all your friends are doing. All your friends are working, let's say, UPS. They're working warehouse jobs. They're working call center jobs. You know, they're working enough money to ride in a car that they can't afford. They don't have any money set aside for retirement. They don't have any plan for this. Just letting you guys know, these are the decisions you guys are going to make. It's going to make a big impact. So my man Kev, you're 23. Make your decisions now. What are you talking about? He said, I'm only kidding, but no retirement with this occupation. Are you talking about barbering? No retirement? It's easy. You can easily retire with being a barber. And this is the funny thing. Like, people have this weird misconception. Like, okay, by the way, guys, there's a link in the description of this video to my Patreon page. Let me explain to you the Patreon. The Patreon is a community where it's really like a mentorship program where, you know, we talk about a bunch of different stuff and, you know, psychology of money, really psychology in general, and getting your mind together. Because the mind is really important with a lot of this stuff. Like, I can teach you how to cut hair and all this. Like, I can teach you how to charge more for haircuts and but all this stuff. I'm going to be honest with you guys. It really doesn't matter. Who cares how good of a haircutter you are? Who cares how much money that you make per haircut? Like, I can show you how to make $100 per haircut. Who cares? What matters is how much of it you can keep. Because a lot of people, barbers especially, they don't keep a lot of money, unfortunately. They spend a whole lot of money. They complain that they're broke. They complain that they don't have a lot, but they like to show that they do. This is not smart. And this is what the Patreon is all about. It's about getting your mind right and getting things together. So for Joe Blow, who says no retirement with this occupation, I'm going to assume he means barbering. He's totally wrong. You can retire with any occupation. You can retire. And my thing with my Patreon and things like this, I'm not going to be the guy. What you're going to get out of the Patreon, you're not going to get me over here telling you like, oh, you need to charge this much for your haircuts in order for you to be successful. I can show you how to save and invest your money. If you make 40 grand a year, 40 grand plus, you're in there. You know, it's going to be a little tricky if you're making 30 grand a year, especially if you're living on your own. You know what I mean? I'm going to be honest with you. You got to increase your income. You know, it's going to be a little hard if you're making 30 grand a year. I'm just going to be real with you. Okay. You got to increase your income. But if you're making 40 or plus, I can work with you. And we could also talk about money management. You know, things like this with barbering, this is what keep a lot of people. And I'm just going to be honest with you. This isn't just barbers. This is a lot of people. People have poor money management. It just is what it is. A lot of people, you know, they make more money than they raise their cost of living. Makes no damn sense. Why would you do that? You get a $10,000-$20,000 raise, but now you feel obligated to spend $10,000 to $20,000 extra every year. Makes no damn sense. But here's the problem with a lot of people in a lot of different industries. They don't put enough to retire. This is the problem with a lot of people. They don't put enough. A lot of people, they're like, oh, I'm putting $100 a paycheck. Oh, I'm putting $150 every 2 weeks. This is not enough. If you guys were listening to the podcast earlier, I talked about sacrificing a good 4 to 5 years. Sacrifice a good 4 to 5 years. You can easily build up a net worth of 6 figures. Now, what you'll find is a lot of times people will be in their 40s, 30s, and they've only got $150,000 into a 401k, $180,000, which in reality, they should have a whole lot more. This is why I'm a big advocate on sacrificing early. I mean, look, sacrificing always, but in the beginning, really sacrificing. Because a lot of people, if you're not willing to sacrifice just a little bit in the beginning, I can't trust you. I just can't. I can't. If you can't just put aside a few simple pleasures for the betterment of yourself, for your future self, I can't trust you. I really can't. If you can't just sacrifice not going out, if you can't sacrifice, oh, I got to go on a date, or, oh, I need this woman, or, oh, I can't trust you. If you can't just put something down for a little bit, go into hiding for a little bit, I can't trust you, because I'm telling you, once you get this money, things will open up for you. Whether you just leave it into an investment account and continue to deposit to that investment account and build upon it, that's cool. Or maybe you want to, I wouldn't recommend you take it all out of the investment account, but take some of it out of that investment account and then fund other investment ideas like real estate. Like maybe you want to take 20 grand out and put this towards a rental property, put it towards a condo, like whatever, whatever, whatever. It's your idea, you know, so grind early. These things will help out later on for you in life. this guy, this dude Joe Blow, I swear he's weird like BS. I don't know. See, these delusional people. I'm just trying to tell you, these people are delusional. Just like the person, I forget which barber it was, who was telling me that you can't, the only way to make money in real estate is if you pay off the property. I don't know if you guys listened to that podcast. I'm telling you, people, okay. The only way to make, he said you can't make money in real estate unless you pay off the property. Kind of funny. Kind of funny. Don't worry, Joe Blow is a hater, man. Joe Blow is a hater. See, that's the thing. You need to be careful when you're listening to bitter people. Bitter people give you bitter ideas, and they so bad. Like, I always warn people about this. Be careful listening to people who have had a bad experience, because all they're going to tell you is a negative, because their experience was bad. And why? Why is that? Maybe they did it wrong. Maybe they went through life and lived life wrong. Quite possibly. Like this the one barber who was saying the only way to make money in real estate is if you own the property. You can't make money from real estate unless you don't own the property straight out, which is the dumbest thing. That's the biggest lie. Now, with his example, maybe he has a bad experience with real estate. Maybe his rental properties, maybe his real estate isn't good. Maybe his calculations were wrong. Maybe he got into something at the wrong price. When people do something wrong, of course, that's like me putting money into the stock. Okay, imagine this. Imagine I put $100,000 into the stock market next month. I know nothing about the stock market. I don't know how the stock market works. I don't know how to research a company. I don't know how to read a 10K report. I don't know how to read a balance sheet, a financial statement. But I just, you know, I'm like, hey, they should do good. Let me just dump $100,000 on them. And then I lose half my money. And then I'm like, man, forget this. I'm out of here, man. I'm taking my money out. And I'm less 50 grand. Now, of course, what am I going to say to people? Man, the stock market's stupid, man. Like, you can't make money in the stock market, man. That's for dummies, man. It's a good place to waste your money and lose money. Yeah, of course, based off of your experience, because you did it wrong. Of course. It would be easy for me to say, let's say I go into my first rental property, right? Let's say I get my first rental property. I buy a house that's way overpriced. Let's say that neighborhood isn't that good of a neighborhood, right? Let's say I bought into a neighborhood that for the price I paid, I won't be able to charge the rent that I need in order to cash flow this deal, which is why, which like I said in the other video, everything that he says totally negates a person doing a cash on cash return, a cash on cash calculation. Like, from what he says, cash on cash return calculations don't matter, right? Like, why do people even do a cash on cash return? Like, why, right? Right, why? Makes no sense. But my bad experience would tell me, man, real estate's messed up, man. I tried real estate once, and man, it ended up costing me like $5,000. I ended up having to pay. I didn't make any money out of the deal. Yeah, because I did it wrong. I did the calculations wrong. I bought in the wrong area. I bought at the wrong time. I bought at the wrong price. Of course, yeah, my experience is going to be bad. Now, if someone comes up and asks me like, hey, man, I've been thinking about getting into real estate. Man, don't do that. Don't do that. You're just going to lose money, man. I tried it last week or last year, whatever. Man, I lost like $5,000 in a year, man. No, man, it's not even worth it, man. It's a big headache, man. You got to deal with tenants, blah, blah, blah. Of course, everything's going to automatically just seem bad. Everything's going to be horrible because you're like, oh, you know, tenants, blah, blah, blah. But hey, what about this? What if you pocketed $20,000? That year, then your whole perspective would be different. Like, oh man, I had great tenants. They paid on time every month. Like, oh man, nothing really broke down. Yeah, go ahead and invest. Whole different perspective if I had $20,000 in my pocket. I know, Gustavo, I'm telling you, man. See, the thing is, like, Joe Blow, he said he's worked at a job for 27 years. So I'm going to assume Joe Blow is older. This is a problem with older people. A lot of older people, they don't want new information to come in. They think the way they live their life is either the way to live their life, or they're bitter about their life. Maybe they're bitter because they don't have options, or they didn't take the shots in life. This is what I'm trying to tell you. A lot of you young guys, take the shots now. Bet on yourself. See, he worked a job for 27 years. If I go up and look at the comment, I can't even remember, but I think he said he worked a job for 27 years. It's a lot different. Joe Blow trying to come here having this conversation in a room full of us who are self-employed people. I'm going to assume most of us here are barbers. It's a totally different conversation. The type of things that we talk about, it won't resonate with you because you worked a job for 27 years. It's different. It's different when you're working for someone, when you're rather than being self-employed. The conversations that we have are totally different. I don't wake up to a boss. I honestly do not have an alarm when I wake up in the morning. I wake up whenever my eyes open. Like I don't set alarms. I only set alarms for one day out of the week, and that is Saturday morning. Yeah, like poopy pants brown. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. A lot of people, they get bitter. But the thing about being bitter and being here? Misery doesn't love company over here. We're not going to entertain you because we don't see the life the way you see life. And this is another thing. I'm going to give you guys a free gym. Protect your energy. And I'm going to put this video on Patreon. I'm going to make a video specifically about this. I'm going to go a little bit more in depth, but I'm just going to give you like the base, the bare bones outline of it. Okay. Protect your energy, guys. This is very important for success and for your mind and your positivity. Protect your energy. There are a lot of people like this guy, Joe Blow, right? Who wants to come out here and say this. The only way his energy will transfer, because it's like the law of physics, you know, something that's in motion will stay in motion. Energy is only transferred from one person to another. Basic laws. So do not allow these people to pass on negative energy to you. So imagine this. You're driving down the road. Someone cuts you off. You honk your horn. They honk their horn. You flip them off. They flip you off. That's a transfer of energy. Another way to look at this is, hey, they just cut me off. Hey, life still goes on. I'm just going to still go. I'm going to still go about my life the way it is. I'm not going to worry about honking at this person. I'm not going to worry about like running up on side of them and giving them a hard look, or running up and driving past them and then like cutting them right back off. Like, no. Do you see how the transfer of energy, you see how that works? A lot of people take this approach in life, and it's really not good. Protect your energy. Keep your energy positive and pure. Just like if someone, I had this guy, let me share the story. I'll just share the story. I'm not even going to like tease it. Okay. So there was, I think it was a Saturday. It's one Saturday. I can't remember when, but it was a Saturday. I remember this guy, I was talking to the barbershop owner, and there was this guy. He was like, he needs a haircut. I was like, oh, hey. So I'm like, nice, you know, nice, friendly. I'm in a good mood always. Right. And I'm like, hey, what's up, buddy? And I could tell he wasn't happy. Like he had this like look on his, he's like, what's up? And I was just like, okay, this guy has a real nasty attitude. Now, what would you do? A lot of people would just match his energy, right? A lot of people would just be like, all right, you don't want to talk, I ain't going to talk. You want to have an attitude? I'm going to have an attitude. But no. I continued to be nice to him. Now, what I did was I was like, hey, I started asking questions because I'm just curious. So I was like, hey, I was like, what's wrong? I was like, you're not happy? I was like, and I just started laughing when I said it. And he was like, he explained, he was like, oh, I'm not really used to being around a bunch of people, man. And he's like, I grew up in the country and blah, blah, blah. Still kind of weird. No justification for that. I mean, I know plenty of people that lived in the country that are social, you know? So, and he had his arms crossed. He was just like, kind of like, you know, had a real nasty attitude. So I continued to ask him more questions. I asked him more questions. Oh my gosh. This guy's hilarious. So I continue to ask him questions. And you know what happened? I wouldn't even say towards the end of the haircut, but really a quarter to a halfway into the haircut. I would really more say a quarter of a way to the haircut. He started opening up. His whole attitude changed. He was like asking me questions. He was opening up about his personal life. And it's actually funny. The more we talked, the more we actually had in common. And he was actually able to share stuff, talk about kids and life, like where he lives, why he's here in Dallas, blah blah blah, like all this other stuff. He opened up a lot more. His whole attitude changed. Now look, if I would have matched his energy, because he was giving me a lot of negative energy. Like very negative. Like when most people are confronted with someone who's negative, who has a bad attitude towards them, most people are just gonna be like, "Hey, you gonna be mean to me? I'm gonna be mean to you." No, that's not how it works, because that means their energy just transferred onto you. Now you have a negative persona. This, you didn't come in like that. That's not how you are. You're positive. You're trying to be positive, right? You're living a good life. Life is great. You don't have coronavirus, right? You're not struggling. Life's great. So why take on this new persona because this person's upset? So that's my advice. Now, I told this story to my barbershop owner because he came in, I think, the next week. And I don't even know how we got on the subject of this guy. But I was telling him, like, "Hey, you remember that guy, blah, blah, blah?" He's like, yeah, I remember. I told him, "He's kind of weird." And then blah, blah, blah. And then I told my barbershop owner, like, how he was acting. And my barbershop owner, you know what he told me? He was like, "Man, if you would have told me that, I would have been like, I could be angry too." And you see, that is the type of energy that you do not want to portray. There's a very clear difference between me keeping an approach where I have positive energy always versus someone who is like, "Hey, you're going to be mean? I'm going to be mean too." It totally takes on, it just changes everything about you. This guy, Joe Blow, I'm telling you, man, he says, "Yo, guys, this man has no retirement. Bad advice." How do I not have a retirement? This guy is a maniac. Do you see? Like, now, the insecure person would then come out and say, like, "Oh, I've got this." There's no need for me to reply to Joe Blow. Do you see? Now, let me give you guys another piece of advice, because I know how to handle this. I've been on YouTube for a long time. I've dealt with the racist people. I've had YouTube beefs before. I've dealt with trolls. I know how to deal with people, okay? When people start saying stuff about you and lying to you, the worst thing that you could do is try to prove them wrong immediately. That's the worst, because what does that show them? That shows that you're insecure. So imagine him saying this, like, "Yo, this man has no retirement. Bad advice," okay? The insecure person would be like, they'd immediately pull up a 401k account. They start flashing their bank account with the amount of money they got, and they start telling, I'm not gonna do this. Like, can you imagine? So here's advice for you guys. I want you guys to be secure in yourself. Be very secure in yourself, because you're not going to worry about stuff like that. Things like this won't matter to you. You actually will laugh at stuff like this once you're secure in your life. The burden of proof is not on me if someone's telling lies on me. The burden of proof is on you. Because if you have the truth and you know the truth, as they say, the truth will set you free. So in the end, the truth will prevail, not lies. Now, briefly, for temporary fun, the lie might get a lot of hype, because I've been on the wrong side of that, where people tell lies about me with these silly YouTube beefs. People lie about you and say this stuff, and then it's for the brief entertainment of it, people are all on it. They're like, "Yeah, man, this dude ain't nothing. Like, oh, this dude don't have this. Oh, this is bad. That. Oh, blah blah blah." But 3 months later, 6 months later, the truth comes out. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So all this stuff about, like, whatever he wants to say, trust me, guys, if you listen to this podcast enough, if you watch the channel enough, if you pay attention enough, you would know that I have money for retirement, that I'm building my wealth right now for retirement, and I have some good assets right now. So let's ignore it. Let's just laugh at him, okay? Let's just laugh. And really, let's just be honest. Feel bad for him. Because like, when people do this stuff, like, I don't get angry. Like, I'm beyond that. Like, when even when before I was doing barber videos, when I was just doing the MMA videos, I didn't even get upset then because I still had the same mindset back then about just people. Just like, dude, just because you said something doesn't mean I'm going to get upset. Just because you said you call me a nigger or something or whatever, racial, whatever, I'm not going to get upset. Like, that's not going to make me upset. Like, trolls, they use the same approach every time. I swear to you, I have yet to see a troll or a racist here on YouTube use a different approach where I'm like, whoa, that's different. That's new. Like, oh, man, I've never seen that before. I haven't seen it. I've been on YouTube for almost 5 years. I haven't seen it. I swear to you, I have not seen it. This is why every time they do something, I'm seasoned at this. Even before, I was just kind of like, I was new to the internet, so I was like, oh, wow. But nowadays, I'm just like, this is the same old thing. They're running the same playbook. Like, the playbook is the same. Like, I know how to defeat this strategy. Like, the playbook's the same. I've seen it. You guys are operating from the 1995 playbook. Scream loud. Make lies. Hope people believe you. Hope that I respond. Like, it's like silly, you know. This is how you deal with people. When you have the truth, who cares what they think? Can you imagine? It's like a rich person and someone's like, oh, this guy's broke. Oh, he just lost his car, or, you know, like, they just repossessed his Bentley. Oh, he's broke now. No, he's still rich. Okay. He's still rich. Okay. Poor people are having fun at the expense of him losing a Bentley or whatever. But at the end of the day, when he wakes up tomorrow, he's still rich. And when you wake up tomorrow, you got to go to work to your boss and you're poor, not happy. Okay, so this is how you have to deal with people. You got to deal with people like this. Jason says COVID-19 is the first boss he's had in 19 years. Yeah, man, COVID was a definite kick to the balls for a lot of people. A definite kick to the balls for a lot of people. But this is just something. This is my advice. Like, so take like a lot of the stuff that I said in this last like 20 minutes, really take this advice. I mean, outside of all of the advice in this podcast, but take this advice. This stuff will help you in life. Keeping your energy positive. Like, imagine you wake up and you don't like have frustration when you wake up. You know how some people like they get real frustrated because they got to wake up. Like, when I wake up, I'm just like, oh, man, like, ooh, it's like, oh, man, I'm waking up. Like, ooh, and you know what I do? I wake up, I check my bank account, I check my investment account, I check my app, see what's going on. Like, I'm in no rush to really go to work. I can lay in bed for a little bit, you know, I can look to see what the stock market's doing. See what moves need to be made. Like, see if I want to have some fun. Get up. You know, kind of if I want to watch some TV, you know, which I don't. but I have that option, right? You see options. I've got that option. If I want to go work out, I can do that. I've got that option, you know, because I don't have to wake up earlier. You know how some people got these jobs where they like, oh man, I gotta wake up extra early so I can get this workout in before work. No, I can just wake up when I want and go work out and still have time to chill before work. This is what I'm saying. Options, guys. Like, this is what I'm saying. Oh my goodness. Yep, Poppy Pants Brown, I do use Robinhood. There's actually a link in the description. If you want to use Robinhood, you guys can sign up, get a free stock. I get a free stock. We both win. Sign up to Robinhood. Start investing. Yep, I've got a few different brokerage accounts. Robinhood, M1. I'm probably going to open up an E-Trade account here soon because I want to have another portfolio I want to open up another brokerage account because I want to start doing some different plays, and I don't want to do this in I don't want to do these plays in Robinhood or M1. Definitely not M1, but in E-Trade. But you know, the cool part is once you get your portfolio to a certain value, like things start opening up. I noticed that, like with Robinhood, you know, the more my the value grew, things start opening up more. Like they started allowing me to do different things. Once you get your portfolio value, I think like to 25K, like they start giving you other different features. Is oh my goodness! You see, look, this guy. I'm telling y'all guys, if you guys have never experienced like a troll or someone, I just approved this. So I saw his comment, and YouTube automatically hid the comment that he just showed, but I approved it because I just want to show you guys something. These guys always do a few different things, right? They lie on you, they call you racist stuff, or they go to homosexuality. So this dude has done two of the three. He's lied on me, and he went straight to homosexuality. I'm just waiting for him to say something racial. Like, I'm gonna be honest. Once that happens, I'm just gonna look at my watch and be like, "Yep, this train is never late," because it's just like always on time. Trolls make you too fun. Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's crazy, man. Poppy Pants Brown says, "Wish the option to work out the gym." Oh, okay. See, the thing is, look, Poppy Pants Brown, if you're listening to this podcast, if you have not learned anything, obviously you have not learned anything. You don't need a gym to work out. Work out at home. Get creative. If you want things to happen, you will make them happen, guys. This is, pay attention. When I give you guys this advice, it doesn't just apply for one thing. It applies to a myriad of things. Apply the same thing to other things in life with working out. You say you can't work out because whatever the gym, I'm telling you, you're lying. You can work out. You can do plyometrics. You can do calisthenics. You can get a good cardio workout by yourself. You can get a good anaerobic workout by yourself. You don't need weights for this. Get creative. It's not that hard. I'm sure you have things around your house that you can turn into something where you can use it to make something where you can attach weight to it or something that actually has weight. Or you can go get something, right? Go get some tires from a tire shop. Go get a battery from like a auto parts store. Use these things to start working out. Oh my goodness. Yeah, see, look, Gustavo's over here. He's telling you. He said he's literally built the most muscle at home with just a barbell and plates. This is the thing. Like, I've never been an advocate for gyms. Like, gyms, they do serve a certain purpose for certain things. But I never liked going to the gym. Like, I don't know if you guys know me. Like, I used to fight MMA professionally. So, of course, for that, I have to go to the gym, right? Because you need the training partners, blah, blah, blah. Cool. But as far as like a fitness gym, I was never really a big fan of these because I'm like, okay, they got treadmills. Okay. I can run outside. Okay. They got workout bikes. Yeah. I've got a pretty big, I've got like a $5,000 bike. I don't need that. Okay. They've got this. They got some weights. I can do the bench. I can do some squat. I can do this on my own. Like, you don't really need a gym. A lot of people think they need all of these apparatuses to get a good workout, when in reality, you can get this stuff by yourself, guys. Like, no. You can do a lot more than push-ups, pull-ups, and bike rides. Trust me on this one, Poppy or Poopy Pants Brown. Your name's crazy. You can do a lot of stuff. If you can get your hand on some resistance bands, ooh, it opens up your possibilities. Ooh. If you have a car battery, opens up your possibilities. You could do a lot of squats. You could work a lot of different muscle groups. You could work your core. You could work your lats. I'm telling you, guys, if you just open up your mind, forget everything you think you know. Forget all the stuff you think you know of, oh, I need a bench press to be able to do my chest and, you know, get a good pump. Like, you don't need a bench press to work your chest. You know, like, I have some things in my house that are weighted. I'll do push-ups. I'll put the thing on my back, and I'll do push-ups with them. That's some resistance. Another exercise I do with the push-ups, I may do like 10 regular push-ups. Then I'll do like 5 explosive push-ups where you're pushing off the ground, clapping, like different claps. You can clap behind your back. You can, like, there's like regular claps, or you can just do the ones where you explode up and kind of, I don't know, you guys probably can't see what I'm doing, but you just got to get creative. You know, do different plyometric exercises, even with squats. You know, you could do explosive squats. You could do burpees. You know, jumping jacks is a good, really good workout for your calves and your legs. Really good warm-up exercise. You know, you could do wall sits. Wall sits are really good for your quads. You know, you sit on the wall for a minute, 2 minutes, you know, whatever. You know, do different core exercises. Like, these things, I'm telling you. And then once you go back, like, because here's one thing a lot of people don't realize about working out. When you're working out, like, a lot of, like, let's say a person who's never worked out and they just go into a gym, but they immediately just go straight to the bench press. They immediately go straight to doing dumbbell curls. Like, no, this is not necessarily the smartest thing to do, because what you really need to do before you start going back to working out, and this is one thing I've always done, especially from when I used to fight. When I would go into a training camp, and my philosophy was this, always stay in shape. But if I knew I got out of shape, like, I mean, like, ridiculously out of shape, where I'm like, oh man, this is gonna take me 8 weeks to get back into shape and fight shape, I would do this. I would take 2 weeks to get ready to get in shape. I wouldn't just go in and go straight balls to the wall, because one, that's gonna lead me up to injuries. One, it's gonna slow down my training camp potentially, because I'm going to be so damn beat up the first few weeks. I'm not going to really be able to get the good work I need. Do the baseline work first. Build a base first, then go into these harder exercises. Because one, that's going to reduce your risk of injury. And two, you're going to actually be stronger than you think you really are. So imagine you do some of these exercises that are core heavy. Let's do, you're doing some of these exercises that require your stabilizers to be very strong. But you didn't build this first. You just went straight into the exercises hardcore. That's going to lead to injuries. This is going to lead to you not getting some of the gains that you think you can get. So work on building a base first, guys. Build a baseline first, then start going into all of these. You want to start lifting heavy with your chest. You want to start doing squats. You want to do these different back exercises where maybe you're balancing on this, which is going to require your stabilizers to be very strong and your core to be very strong. If not, you're not going to do the exercises to where you could actually get the max from each individual exercise. This is why building the baseline first, getting these basic exercises. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is the boring stuff. Like, these exercises, this is the boring stuff. This is going to be people will look at you and be like, he's doing girly workouts. No, these things are actually very important, guys. I'm just going to explain that to you. Poopy Pants Brown, do this stuff first, because I've heard, and it's actually kind of funny. I've heard people say this who have actually gone back to the gym. They've said that, man, they've done these little, like, basic exercises at home, maybe just do tons of reps or whatever, and they came back and they were actually stronger, or they're actually more ripped now. Yeah. You know, there's a reason, like, people in jail are fucking huge. You know, they don't have all the protein shakes at their disposal. They don't have all the steroids. They don't have D-ball. They don't have testosterone and all these other things. Like, no, they're just working out a lot. They're putting work in. They obviously don't have the best nutrition in prison. You know, they don't have grilled lean chicken and tuna fish and all this other stuff, you know. Quinoa, kale, all the little brown rices and peanut. They don't have all this stuff, but they're still getting results. They're just working out hard. So, Poopy Pants Brown, work out hard. Don't worry about, like, oh, I don't have this elliptical. Oh, I don't have this squat rack. Like, you can still get it in. But just make some shit happen. Like, get a, I don't, let me think. Okay, yeah. Like I said, go get the car batteries, right? So get two car batteries, put hold both of them joints up just like this. So you got two car batteries, you're holding them up like this, and you do squats. You're doing weighted squats. Boom. Easy work. You got your car batteries. You could do them just like you do kettlebell swings. Use the car batteries. Free. I'm sure you can go to AutoZone or O'Reilly's, Advance, whatever. I'm pretty sure they'll probably give you a car battery. You know. Yeah, water. Water's a good one. Sand is a good one. If you don't have sand, like go to a playground. Go to a playground, get you a little shovel, and take you some sand. Trust me, you can get some good workouts. Like, you just gotta get creative with working out. Like, this is the one thing that frustrates me about people that, like, oh, guys, you can do these workouts. It's just like, I get it. Some people like the fact that if they go to the gym, they feel like it's motivating them to work out. And a lot of people, if everything's at home, they don't feel motivated to work out because it's at home. And it's like, oh, it's just there. So they're like, oh, I'll come back in 15 minutes. And then 15 minutes, they're like, okay, I can give me 10 minutes. And then the 10 minutes, they're like, all right, give me 5 minutes. And then it's like, oh man, it's too late. I got to go to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Get it, you know, get it. Yeah. Rice is good. A lot of stuff, man. A lot of things you could use for weight, to add weight to something, whether you get a bag or get like even perfect. Like, if you got some like heavy duty trash bags, like they do this in prison. They put water in the bags. You could put rice, like maybe rice in the bag. You could put sand in the bag. You could use these things for a lot of stuff, man. Like, so many different uses. You could use this stuff to do curls. You could do tricep extensions with this stuff. You could do a lot of stuff. I mean, now I don't have to use any of this because I have resistance bands and I have a few other little things to work out with if I need it. But lunges, I mean, like, dude, you can get a good hellified leg workout. I'm telling you, you can get a hellified leg workout at home. You don't need a gym for that. You can get a nice chest workout at home. You don't need a gym for that. You can get your arms on swole. You really don't even need a gym. Like, when I think about, because I know a lot of good exercises that you could do by yourself with no gym, like calisthenics, plyometrics. Dude, you can get a good workout by yourself. And I mean, like, I can get you ripped by just doing a 10-minute workout every day. Now, you're going to get your ass kicked in 10 minutes. It's going to be like back to back to back, like nonstop. You're going to do like 3 rounds of boom, boom, boom. They're high intensity, like high workload, but you're going to get a good workout. That's for, you know, if you don't have time. But, you know, it's good to mix up your workouts, you know, so you can get results. Don't just sit here and do the same workout all the time. You know, you're going to plateau. You know, your muscles aren't going to be that sore. Mix up your workouts. You know, mix up the intensity of your workouts. You know, don't just do the same amount of reps every time. You know, maybe instead of doing regular lunges, do explosive lunges. Just stay in place and explode up. Jump. Every time you do the lunges, jump. Boom. Or you do your air squats. So you may do 50 air squats. This time, do 50 explosive squats where you jump. Boom, you're constantly jumping. Different. You're working your muscle groups differently. You're mixing it up, tearing down your muscles just to build them back up. Simple stuff. Working out isn't that difficult. Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Like, some people, they feel more motivated at the gym just because of the scenery. It's like, oh, I'm at the gym. Oh, I'm with other people. Oh, we're all working out. It's all this environment. It's just the mentality, man. Like, I'm all for people's mentality being where they can motivate themselves. They don't need any external factors to motivate themselves. This is what I'm big on. This is what I really want you guys to get to, the level where you don't need any external factors to motivate you. You're motivated yourself. If something changed, you could easily shift. You could easily pivot and do something else. You're not like, oh, if this happens, you're the world. Oh, my life's over. You know, you see these kids like, oh, coronavirus happened. Oh, I won't be able to graduate and walk across the stage. Oh, like, get over it. Okay. Get over it. Okay. Because look, if you're a kid and you're upset, like, your life's going to end or the world's over because I didn't get the proper graduation, I didn't get to walk across the stage. That's life. Life is going to happen. And if you're not prepared for this, trust me, you're not prepared for the world. And I'm pretty sad that you're about to graduate, because you're about to go into the real world. That's life. Okay. But let me get off here because we got on a whole nother topic. We got on a whole nother topic. So I'm going to wrap up this podcast. And don't forget to smash the like button, share this podcast. I'll see you guys next week. Next week may be episode 100. It might be episode 100. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've got some surprises for you guys next week. So you don't want to miss next week's podcast. Just be ready. That's all I'm going to say. Just be ready. Okay, guys? So it's been your man, I Do It, signing out. I'll holler.